Welcome to the Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast, where today we will be listening to this week's sermon by Pastor Brent Russell.
Well, we've been working our way through 1 Peter, and so we come to 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. And if you were listening to these verses, when I first thought about preaching this series, I thought, these are the verses I don't want to preach, right? Because, they're tough verses. And then I got into them, and I'm thinking, oh, these are the verses I really want to preach, because it's really good discipleship here. It's this is what I call a bread and butter sermon. It's basic, but it's good, and I think it will help you in your journey with Jesus. So I know most of you here are Canadian, but we have been strongly influenced by the belief systems of the United States. One of the most profound and, I think, helpful thoughts that comes from their Declaration of Independence. And it starts out by saying, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights." As Canadians, we believe that too, right? We believe that people have equal value. So when we see a rich person avoiding justice where we know a poor person couldn't, we say, well, that's not right. That's not fair. When we've taken it further in our country, we believe that everyone should have equal access to health care. Why? Because we believe that people are created equal. Our sense of what is right and wrong and justice is built on that idea. It's a good idea. I would even say it's a Christian idea. I don't think that we always follow through on the idea. Racism, sexism, many poverty issues fly in the face of this idea, but it's something that at least we aspire to. All people are created equal. But that idea makes today's scripture passage hard for us to understand and to get our heads around. We've been doing the summer tour through 1 Peter, and as I've noted before, this book was written by Jesus' disciple, Peter, and it was written into a bunch of provinces of Rome in Asia Minor, and it was written primarily to non-Jewish Christians, but they were very much a part of the Roman Empire, and they were fully immersed in it. Here's one of the things you need to understand about Rome and the Roman Empire. They did not believe that all people are created equal. In fact, they would have scoffed at the idea that people were created of equal value. The emperor, he certainly didn't see himself as being equal, because many of them would proclaim themselves gods. About 40% of the Roman Empire was made up of slaves. And slaves were treated as property. They were not seen as equal. A master could kill a slave with no consequences because, well, they were not equal under the law. Their value came from what they could do or what they could be sold for. Women were only slightly better off than slaves in the Roman Empire. The fathers and their husbands had complete authority over their lives. What they said was law. And as far as women were concerned, a man could treat his wife any way he wanted to, and there was no recourse under the law. It was a world where might made right. If you were strong enough, either politically or physically, then you could do what you wanted to do, and you would probably get away with it. Peter understood this. He's writing into this context. He understands it. This is the world that the people who are receiving Peter's letter live in. So the question is, how do you live as a follower of Jesus in this kind of world? Well, here's what Peter tells them. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. "Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles," we've heard that theme before, to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against your soul. Peter says, friends, you are foreigners and exiles in this world. Your citizenship is in a place where people are seen by God as being equal. You live in a place where might makes right, but you're citizen of a place where you're equal at the foot of the cross. Not only that, but you have been set free. You live in a place where the law says, at least about some of you, that you were of no value. But you are citizens of a place where God says you have amazing worth. I died for you. So the kingdom you come from and the land you live in have a very, very different value system. So live, he says, dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires that wage war against your soul. So live as if your soul has value. Then he goes on to say, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. Now, everything that follows, everything we're going to look at today is looking back and referring to this verse here. This is what he's trying to get across. This is his theme verse for this section of Scripture. It's the overriding instruction for how to live in a world that is harsh and unfair and unjust. Live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify your God on the day that he visits. I don't love how the NIV translates the word pagan. The Greek word is ethnos. It could be translated nations or peoples. When Jesus says, go into all the world and make disciples of every nation, that word nation is ethnos. They could have translated pagan, but they translated ethnos or people. Peter is trying to get the point across, though, that live such good lives among the people who do not follow Jesus, even when it's hard, even when they accuse you falsely of doing wrong, so that when they have to look at you objectively in the day of Christ Jesus, when he comes back, that they're going to be able to look at your life and say, yeah, you were right. God, you were right. God, your ways are good and just, and I can see it in your people. We live in a world where our value system is very different than the people around us. We're surrounded by people who do not follow Jesus. And it seems to me that many Christians' strategy for living in this world is to let other people know how bad they are. That's not God's way. This verse is saying, live such good lives that even though there might be some around you that when it's all said and done, they accuse you of wrong, but when it's all said and done, they praise God because of you. You know, one of the big ways that Christianity spread throughout the Roman Empire was that Christians did good that others wouldn't. When the plagues came into the city, the people would run out of the city and the Christians would go in and minister to the sick in the city. When a baby girl was born into a family that didn't want a baby girl, they would take the baby girl and they would take it out to the forest and just leave it there for the wild animals. The Christians would go and rescue those baby girls and adopt them and raise them. And all of a sudden, people start to see, oh, there's something about this person named Jesus. It says, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. So what does doing good look like in Peter's context? Well, verse 13. Submit yourself to for the Lord's sake to every human authority, whether to emperors or as supreme authorities or to governors who are sent by them to punish those who do wrong and to commend those who do right. Did you catch what a good life looks like? Submit yourself for the Lord's sake to every human authority. The why is really important here. We're going to be looking a lot at submission today, and you'll notice who it is for. You're doing it for the Lord's sake. I'll come back to verse 15 in a moment, but verse 16 says, "Live as free people, but do not use your freedom as a cover-up for evil. Live as God's slaves," or as the New Living Translation puts it, "for you are free, yet you're God's slaves, so don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil." Followers of Jesus are free people. You're foreigners and you're exiles, and the emperor really isn't your emperor. But submit to him, even though you're not really citizens of this land, for the Lord's sake. Don't use your freedom as an excuse to do evil, or don't use your freedom as an excuse to, could be translated to do that which is harmful and damaging. Let me try to put this in a 21st century context. As a Christian, you have certain rights. Christ has made you free. And you have a right to live that way. You have a lot of other rights. I don't have time to go into that, but living a good life means that you give up the right to live the way you want. Living a good life means submitting to human authorities, which are sometimes in conflict with your freedom. We have seen Christians exercising the rights in ways that are harmful. They use the right to freedom of speech to say things that aren't helpful. Just because you have the right doesn't mean that you should exercise that right sometimes. There's a place to submit to the authority, even though, as a Christian, I could do this, but I'm going to choose not to. Here's what Peter says in verse 15. "It is God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you." In Peter's day, Christians were starting to be accused of being cannibals. Because I heard rumors that the Christians are meeting over there and they're meeting in secret. But my cousin's uncle, he was listening in, he's eavesdropping, and they were saying stuff like, "This is the body of Christ. This is the blood of Christ. Take and eat. These people are cannibals," right? That was the rumor that was going around. What does Peter say? "Live such honorable lives that you silence those ignorant people who would make foolish accusations against you." What are Christians accused of today? We're accused of being judgmental, homophobic, bigots. Paul says, "Let your honorable lives silence ignorant people." Again, focus on how you live, not on how other people are living. Peter sums it up. Verse 17. "Show proper respect to everyone, love the family of believers, fear God, honor the emperor." That's part of what it means to fulfill verse 12. Live good lives. So Peter's talking to the people and saying, okay, you have rights. You don't need to exercise those life. Live such way that people will see your good deeds. Show respect to everyone. Honor everyone. Honor the emperor. Then he goes and he starts a new topic, slaves. So not just those who are ruling over you, slaves. Verse 18, in reverent fear of God, submit yourselves to your masters. Not only to those who are good and considerate, but also to those who are harsh. Peter's not condoning slavery. He is dealing with the reality of slavery of those who are already slaves. He says, submit yourself to your master. Now, in some ways, this is obvious. It's not like they had a choice of whether they submitted or not. They were slaves. They had to submit. But Peter says, submit, not only but because you have to, but do so in reverent fear of God. Peter is reframing the submission that the slaves had to do anyways. He's saying, it's not fair that you're slaves. It's not right that some of you have masters and they treat you harshly. Your choice is not how they treat you, but who you live for, is what he's saying. Verse 19, for it's commendable if someone bears up under the pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. But how is it to your credit if you receive a beating for doing wrong and endure it? But if you suffer for doing good and endure it, this is commendable before God. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. It's commendable if someone bears up under pain of unjust suffering because they are conscious of God. Or the NLT says, for God is pleased when conscious of his will, you patiently endure unjust treatment. Peter recognizes the fact that they are being treated unjustly. Peter does not promise that they'll get justice in this world. He doesn't promise that, you know, if you live well, that your master will treat you fairly. He doesn't say that. He doesn't say that everything's going to turn out to be okay. He doesn't promise that either. What does he say? He says, you're commendable if you choose to bear up under unjust pain. You have God's favor. God is pleased with you. Not only that, but you're following Christ's example. He was treated unjustly. He suffered even when he didn't deserve it. And you're living like he did. Verse 23, when they hurled insults at him, he did not retaliate. When he suffered, he made no threat. Instead, he entrusted himself to him who judges justly. He himself bore our sin in his body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness. By his wounds, you have been healed. For you were like sheep going astray, but now you have returned to the shepherd and overseer of your soul. He is saying to the slaves, be like Jesus. Entrust yourself to the one who judges justly. This world is not all there is. You have a great shepherd of your soul. Entrust yourself to him. If I could sum up the message that he's trying to say right here, he's saying, deal with your reality, be like Jesus, entrust yourself to God. Deal with your reality, be like Jesus, entrust yourself to God. I wish that Rome was the only place where life was unfair. But there are a lot of you who have experienced the unfairness of life. Some of you have grieved the loss of a loved one. Death sometimes cuts life too short. And you're in pain and you look around and you're saying, well, it's not fair that they lived and my significant person died. No, it's not. But deal with your reality. Be like Jesus and trust yourself to God. Some of you are dealing with relationships that are problematic. Your spouse, your child, your friend, your boss are treating you in ways that are unfair. Peter would say, deal with your reality. Be like Jesus and trust yourself to God. Some of you are dealing with pain. Some of you are dealing with health issues. Is it fair? Is it fair that you get cancer and your neighbor doesn't? Is it fair that you have to struggle through pain and your friend is healthy? Life isn't fair. But hear the word of God to you. Deal with your reality. Be like Jesus and entrust yourself to God. Now, Peter goes on to talk to wives who are married to unbelieving husbands. As I said before, husbands had total authority over their wives and in ancient Rome. And not only that, but also often husbands, the husbands were acquired because the father of the wife arranged the marriage for the largest dowry that he could get. And so you have these situations where you have these husbands who are unbelieving, who have authority over their wives. So how are the wives supposed to live? Chapter 3, verse 1. Wives, in the same way, submit to your husbands, so that if any of them do not believe the word, that they may be won over without the words by the behavior of their wife, when they see the purity and reverence in your life. Wives, in the same way as slaves, because your station isn't that much farther above slaves in the Roman Empire, because of what your status is, Peter's saying, I know some of you are trapped in a marriage and it isn't good just because you have the status of a woman. And you live in a country where there's nothing you can do about that. If that is you, Peter says to the people he's writing to, live a winsome life. Peter says, I have hope for that your husband will be won over to Jesus because of your behavior. See, he's reiterating the theme that he started with at the beginning. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans so that though they accuse you of doing wrong, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your God on the day that he visits. Live such good lives before your husbands that they will glorify God. Live in such a way where they see the difference Christ makes in your life. And hopefully they'll come to know Jesus for themselves. Here's what he means by that. Verse 3. Your beauty should not come from outward adornments such as elaborate hairstyles and wearing of gold jewelry and fine clothes. Rather, it should be that of your inner self, the unfading beauty of gentle and a quiet spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. For this is the way the holy women of the past who put their hope in God used to adorn themselves. Now, Peter is not saying, don't get your hair styled. He's not saying, don't wear gold jewelry. That's not what he's saying here. If you want to dress up, dress up. That's the point he's making is, you know, if you put your emphasis there, you're missing the point. He says what God really values is internal beauty. He values that much higher than physical beauty. Physical beauty, he says, fades. Inner beauty does not. Inner beauty is what you are hoping to develop. How do you live in such a marriage? Well, you develop inner beauty. Peter goes on to address believing husbands. And this is what he says to believing husbands. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate of your as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as the weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life so that nothing will hinder your prayers. In a world where might made right and physical strength was the measure of most strength, Peter calls women the weaker partner. So he's just talking about physical stuff there. But he also calls them heirs of the gracious gift of life. So what he is reminding the husbands who are believers that you can't act like an unbelieving husband. He reminds believing husbands that it in God's sight, women are equal partners. They are co-heirs, just the same as you are, and they're going to inherit the kingdom of God just the same way you will. So while the world may place maybe a place where might makes right, and therefore women are lesser, the kingdom of God is a place of equality. Peter has two instructions for believing husbands. He says, be considerate to your wives and treat them with respect. Be considerate of your wives and treat them with respect. Remember when Peter was talking about the emperor? Back to chapter 2, verse 17. It says this, show proper respect to everyone. Love the family of believers. Fear God. Honor the emperor. That word honor and respect, same word as treat your wife with respect. That is what is to be given to believing wives. He's saying that a Christian household is to be different than the one you see around you. He even goes farther and says, verse 7, husbands, in the same way be considerate as you live with your wife and treat them with respect as the weaker partner, as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. Note this, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. Believing husbands, if you do not treat your wife with consideration and respect, your prayers are going to be hindered. In a world of inequality, Peter says, that's not us. Your wife is a child of God, and if you don't treat her with respect, then your prayers will be hindered because you are not treating one of God's children with respect and consideration. At the foot of the cross, we're equal. Let me take you back to the beginning. It's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Dear friends, I urge you as foreigners and exiles to abstain from sinful desires, which wage war against your soul. The world you live in, you got to deal with this reality, but you are part of the kingdom of God. So live in such a way where your soul is healthy. Verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans so that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits. We live in a world that has different ideas than us. It values different things than us. We live in a world where many things that God would call good are not seen that way, and many things that God would call bad are seen as good. It's okay. You're a foreigner and you're an exile in this world. You live in the world, but it's not your true home. So we live in a world that's not fair and often is not just, but hear God's word to you. Live in such good lives that the pagans, that though they may accuse you of doing wrong, may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day that he visits us. Allow God to use you to be a witness of the values of the kingdom of God. Let's pray. Lord, we have your kingdom, we have the world we live in. Peter was writing into one world, we live in another world. Neither world is fair or just. We hope for justice, we hope for fairness, but it doesn't always come. And Lord, our lives are really complicated sometimes. Help us to keep in mind what it means to live a good life. Help us, Lord, to deal with reality, to be like you, Jesus, and Lord, help us to trust in your goodness. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week on Asbury Free Methodist Broadcast. Make sure to visit our website at asburyfmperth.com, where you can subscribe and never miss a show. If you'd like this broadcast, you might want to check out our Facebook page, Asbury Free Methodist Church. Until next week, take care and God bless.